I'm happy to be here.
Amen. That's good.
Of course, I'm happy to be anywhere now. A few years ago, we went down to Bryan, Texas to visit our daughter. And we went to Walmart. That's the American thing to do. And I overheard two elderly gentlemen in a conversation as we walked in. One of them said, if I didn't have doctor's appointments, I wouldn't have any social life at all. Well, if that's a measure for social life, mine has been well. But I have a social life that's far above that.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
I enjoyed it tonight coming up with Brother Don and Brother Richard.
Mercy.
Even you enjoyed listening to them. And I'm enjoying that social life now.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
My daddy never asked me the question if I wanted to go to church.
Amen.
It might be a question of where we was going. And I'm glad he didn't.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful that he insisted. Sometimes rather strongly.
Yes, sir.
That I go to church. Because he gave me the best gift that he could ever give. I want to share something with you. January 20th of last year, I suffered a stroke. By the way, I'm going to pause right there. Brother Dan, when I was in Phoenix, I had a lat stroke, and the speech therapist told me this: read every day from the book of Psalms. She said that book contains every sound known to the human ear.
Wow.
Now that's good.
Yeah.
But it's good to read.
Amen.
They moved me to rehab. The doctor said I needed acute rehab. And for 3 weeks, I had rehab 3.5 hours a day. And I learned several things. One thing I learned is there's no negative talking in that rehab. Wouldn't that be good for us?
Yes, amen.
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 I found out you don't say I can't do that. You say I can't do that yet. And that yet makes a big difference. But the first day I was there, a male nurse come in and give me a shower. And he sort of washed my back. And I said, I'll give you 30 minutes on that. But the first day I prayed, Lord, what do I need to learn? Silence. Nothing. I prayed the second day, Lord, what do I need to learn? Silence. Then I prayed third day. Keep that in mind. Lord, what do I need to learn? And this part of the text, not the old text, but this part of the text come to my mind, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
Amen.
And I realized then that I didn't need to learn anything, but depend upon his grace. Later when I got home, and was going to speak at Mount Perrin for the first time, my son came over and helped me get dressed. And I was sitting in the living room. And I said, Lord, I'm too weak, I'm too undone to do this. And the last part of that text hit me like a ton of bricks between the eyes. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
And I have found out that the weaker I am physically is the stronger I am spiritually.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So I got interested about three. Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. But he didn't tell anybody about it for 3 days. Wouldn't that be a good policy for the church? I have found through a sad experience that when you bring something up of a major issue and expecting the church to act on it immediately, you may be headed for trouble. You need to give them time to pray about it.
Amen.
To digest it. Study
Amen.
About it.
Yes, sir.
I have used this as a rule of thumb. If I can wait 3 days, now I can't always do that, but if I can wait 3 days, I usually make a wiser decision. I'll give you an example. I forget what it was about, but somebody upset me when I lived in Texas, and I sat down and wrote them a letter. That letter would have burned up the post office if I'd mailed it. But for some reason, I didn't. And we know what that reason was. 3 days later, I read the letter again and tore it up. When I look at the word three, or the number three, it's an interesting thing. Of course, a crowning achievement in threes is that Christ rose on the third day. Now then, I want to turn to the book of Psalms with that. And I want to look at three Psalms that are closely connected. I want to look at Psalms 22, 23, and 24. Psalm 22 is the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is the great shepherd. And Psalm 24 is the chief shepherd. Psalm 22 is the cross. Psalm 23 is the crook of the shepherd's staff. And I'll explain that in a moment. And Psalm 24 is the crown. In the temple and tabernacle, there were curtains and there was a veil. That's always listed like this. A blue, purple, and scarlet. Always in that order. But in Psalm 22, it's right backwards. That's the scarlet. Psalm 23 is the purple. And Psalm 24 is the blue. Now, why the difference? That looks like I'm going at it backwards. When God started, He started with the sun. Perfect Son, glorious Son in power, knowledge, and wisdom. He looked at the blue first, then the purple, and finally the scarlet. But when a child of God understands what has been done for him, when he understands his total depravity, and I can't say that any stronger.
Amen.
when he understands that he's nothing and less than nothing before God. He must start with the scarlet. I remember Brother J.L. Rake said one time, if you're going to get to resurrection ground, you have to go to the cross. And that's true. In Psalm 22, which is the scarlet and the cross, and this, by the way, was written about 1,000 years before Christ ever came. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That reminds you of anything?
Yes, sir.
I am convinced that we'll never understand in this life what our Lord went through.
Amen, brother.
Man had done all they could do to him. As I heard a preacher put it one time, the Jews couldn't stand him, the Romans couldn't kill him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Amen.
And that's very true. When Christ was nailed to the cross, something happened between him and God that we'll never understand. And it happened in the 3 hours. Three? 3 hours of darkness. When the sun refuses to shine. I read where an educated man said that was an eclipse of the sun. If it is, it's the longest eclipse that ever lasted. I don't believe anybody on the earth could see anything. I think the suffering of his son was so great that the mercy of God wouldn't let us look into
Amen.
Him. The Bible says he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Now let me let you in on a little thing that I believe. I believe Christ could have come, paid the sin debt, and went back to glory, and they were still being affected. But he chose to let us know about it.
Amen.
He called men to preach the gospel. Now then he said, on down in this, but thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Are you going to have praises to God without God being in the middle of it? I doubt it. Very seriously. All they that see me laugh at me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, saying he delighted in him. The Jews thought they were getting rid of Christ.
That's right.
They believed that if they crucified him, that'd be the end of it.
That's right.
But little did they know.
Yes, sir.
They was doing the will of God.
That's right.
I read in the Psalms again, where it said, the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the rest thou will restrain.
Yes,
when Christ was on the cross, he was treated terrible.
Yes, sir.
In the Psalms it says, in the 22nd Psalm, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset around. I believe that to be the soldiers. They was called a bull because of their actions. They gapped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Did Christ suffer?
Yes, sir.
More than we'll ever know.
Amen.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. That's the cross. That is the scarlet of the temple. Now, maybe you brethren can help me out here. But I have searched and searched and searched as to how those colors run. Was they up and down? Was they a cross? And I can't find it. So I'll give you my opinion. You want it, don't you? I believe they run up and down. And I further believe it might have been possible that the scarlet was in the middle when that veil was rent. It was rent through that scarlet, which was Christ himself. And Paul in the Hebrew letter says, when the veil of this flesh is rent, we can see Christ. But we've got to know how little we are, how poor, how undone. How would you feel if somebody came to your church, Brother Sonny, next Sunday morning and said, I can do this church a lot of good. I'm a rich man, I'm a wealthy man, and I can give a lot of money. How would you feel? Not very good, would you? By the way, well, I'll get to that in a moment. Now I want you to notice the 20th verse. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Do you know what darling means? I won't call one of these sisters darling. I won't do it. I call my wife darling, but not these sisters. It means you're one and only. He said, save your one and only from the dog. I believe he did.
Yes, sir.
Then it comes to Psalm 23. That's the crook. The shepherd used the crook to reach down and pull sheep out of problems. How many times have we been pulled out?
Mercy.
More than we want to admit. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In this first verse of Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The little girl was asked to quote it by her preacher. And she quoted it like this, The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want.
Amen.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This chapter talks about the priesthood of Christ. If He is our shepherd, we must be sheep. Now, when I was in ag class in high school, I had a pig for my first project. I done pretty good at pigs, because I understand their nature. My next project next year was sheep. I didn't get along too well with sheep. And the reason was I didn't understand their nature. The Lord is my shepherd, not cowboy.
Yeah.
You don't drive sheep. You lead them.
Amen.
And furthermore, I understand that sheep will not drink from rushing water. It has to be calm water. And the shepherd would go to the water and dig out a hole for them to drink from. God's people that way. If there's trouble in the church, we don't feed too well, do we? We don't drink too well. Years ago, in the first church I ever held an appointment in rural Texas, Elder Crane was a pastor. And there's an old sister weaver in that church. She was in her 80s. And Ella and I went by to see her one Sunday afternoon after church and visit with her. And she told me her experience. One of them. When she was a young married woman, she had a child, a son that was about 3 years old at this time, and he was bitten by a rattlesnake. And of course, back then, you didn't get to the doctor as quick as you do today, and he died. This was on a Saturday. On Sunday, her family was with her, and she began to prepare lunch and get ready to go to church. And they said, "Mother, you can't do that. You need to be here with your family." She said, "Let me tell you something. I will get something at church that I can't get anywhere else. That's because the Lord is my shepherd." I heard a minister say a long time ago, people talking about tears, some people are ashamed of their tears. I'm not. Because it's God's method of washing your eyes where you can see a little better. And that's when David said, "I will look to the hills, from whence cometh my help. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What kind of a picture do you get with that? Calmness. Peace. Brother Sonny, in the midst of the death of Brother Mike, God can still give peace. He can give peace in the roughest of times. Now he said, "He leadeth me." He leadeth me? That means somebody's following.
Amen. That's right.
And I asked myself the question, am I following? Or am I trying to find my own way? Brother John, I hate to tell this, But I will. I have tried to manufacture the spirit in the sand with volume. And it won't work.
Amen, brother. Thank God.
But in spite of that fact, I preached one time in San Angelo on a Wednesday night on prayer, and I wanted to crawl in a hole when I got through. That was the biggest mess I've ever made in my life. And one sister come up to me, his old sister Neil. She come up to me and she said, "That's the greatest sermon I've ever heard."
Amen, brother. Right.
God can bless in spite of us.
Yes, that's right.
If Brother Harold was here, I'd tell one on him. He told Brother Gary, "Your preaching is never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as they say it is." "It restoreth my soul." Does your soul need restoring from time to time? Mine does quite frequently. Sometimes I get down and out, down in the muddle of grubs, having a, and I become president of the Bull Me Club. And my wife, bless her heart, she comes to me. And she says, "I heard her preacher say one time," and then she quotes me. There's not a whole lot I can say, except amen. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my sake." No. "For his name's sake."
Amen.
Did you realize that every time you go to church, when you're singing, you're not singing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're singing to your Savior.
Amen.
You should picture him sitting in the pulpit in one of those chairs, listening to your singing. Would he be pleased? Did you know it takes the same grace for us to sing as it does to preach? And a lot of people don't understand that prayer is worship. It's a private worship that you can have with God and God alone. Prayer is the time you're talking to Him and listen to Him.
Amen.
Are you listening? My son, oldest son, told me recently. He said, "Daddy, I believe that God still speaks to His children. But we've got too much noise in the world. And often it's drowned it out." "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Brother Dan, there's one time I didn't believe that. I was used to ride by a cemetery and I'd get scared out of my britches because I knew there's bodies out there. But I had a cousin in Clovis, New Mexico that was taking flying lessons, and him and his instructor was killed in a plane crash. And when they got his body ready, they called his wife. And Brother Bernard Goins, our pastor, went down with her. And she stood there and looked at James. And she said, "That's not James. That's only his body that he lived in." Because you see, it's a truth that the moment we close our eyes in death. And I'll give you a statement made by Elder A.D. McCarty. We ordained him in Texas just before I moved to Arkansas. He was blind. And he said, I can't see my wife. I can't see my grandchildren. But he said the first thing that I see is him
Amen.
Who died for my sins.
Amen.
That's right.
That man could see more blind than a lot of sighted people can see.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
David walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, whether we realize it or not, Brother Mike's experience when he left this world is a sudden thing.
Mm-hmm.
It happened quickly. But the Spirit of God moved quicker.
Amen.
And received him unto himself.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And the older I get, the more tired I get of this world. I finally come to the realization that this world holds nothing for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
If anybody enjoys church, my wife does.
Mm-hmm.
And she sends her love to you. And then David said, for thou art with me. That's a marvelous statement. How far would you want to go by yourself? I wouldn't get up out of the chair. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know what comfort means? One meaning is strengthen. Isaiah said, comfort ye my people. He didn't say pat them on the back and tell them everything will be all right. But strengthen them through the message of the gospel of Christ. Listen, Paul did not tailor his message for anybody. He preached to a jailer and he preached to a king with the same message. He didn't tailor it. He wasn't trying to win a popularity contest. He was preaching the word of God. Then he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you.
Amen.
What's the biggest enemy I have? Me. And how many times have I gone to church and God will prepare a table right in front of me? In spite of myself, let me feed on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I remember a sermon Brother Bill Walden preached at Fort Worth one time. Will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? It's amazing, isn't it? When we look at ourselves, you know, Brother Tim, I read on Facebook when your daddy turned 80 years old. He wrote, getting old doesn't bother me, but I wonder who that old man is looking at me back in the mirror. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The little girl told the preacher, she said, my cup doesn't hold very much, but it can run over a whole lot.
Amen.
Just don't be like the Hank Williams song, my bucket's got a hole in it.
Amen.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord
Amen.
Forever. Now we come to the blue, which is the color of deity. Isn't it amazing that God gave us a sky of blue? My goodness, how good He is to us. Isn't it amazing that He gave us so much green? You know what green is, don't you? It's the color of mercy. God's mercy is great. In fact, there's a psalm that every verse in it ends with, thy mercy endureth forever. How long is forever? Forever. Forever. Then you add one more forever, and there's forever. Can't find an end to it. But Psalm 24 is the blue, and it's the crown. And I want to move down to the 8th verse. No, 7th verse. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You know, sometimes when we talk to our friends and neighbors and family, even our families, about what we believe as Primitive Baptists, we start all wrong. We start with what we don't have. Why don't we start with what we do have? Why don't we start with the precious gospel of Christ? I learned this lesson from a preacher many years ago. A good way to open a conversation with someone is say, we believe in a successful Christ. Amen. That'll open the door.
Amen.
Lift up your heads. Do our heads need to lift it up? You know, I have finally arrived at the point. Brother Don, I'll think about a statement you made one time. Why am I so soon old and too long learning? And that is, I don't even watch the national news anymore. It's not good. I still read the comic strip, and it's not good sometimes. I do read the sports page, and sometimes I look to see if there's somebody passed away that I know. And Brother Sunday, I feel guilty sometimes. Brother Mike left this world at 55 years old. I'm 78. Had 2 heart attacks and 2 strokes. But I'm still here. Sometimes I feel guilty about that. And if I didn't have the belief in our sovereign God, I'd feel worse.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Paul said, it's better for me to go on and be with the Lord. But for you,
yes, sir,
it's better that I remain.
Yes, sir.
I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul said, all things are for your sake. All things Christ did was for you. And ministers have given their lives for you to preach the gospel. You ought to be with one of these preachers some night when he's by himself and he's talking to God. He's talking to God about you. But then he said, and the King of glory shall come in. And it's almost as if it's a chorus in heaven. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong, mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The word Lord, I learned something about that this week. The word Lord in caps is not true in lower letters. But in caps, it means Jehovah. And Jehovah means covenant God. So anytime you read that Lord in caps, God telling you, I've got a people that belong to me. And if they belong to him, how many of them is he going to lose? None of them. He is the Lord mighty in battle. No, we're not talking about a physical battle. We're talking about a battle that was fought at the cross when he offered himself a sacrifice for our sins. I think about the song that says, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I? Did you ever stop and think that before the foundation of the world, you went walking through the mind of God and he loved you from all eternity and committed himself to you before you ever had a being? He won the victory at the cross and he entered heaven's pure world as a victorious Savior.
Amen.
Victorious, and he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will raise them up again at the last day. I have a little sister that lies in a cemetery. She was stillborn. Mama and Daddy was young. They were so upset that they didn't even name her. But I'm not worried about it. Because I believe today, somehow, she's in the hand of God. I must believe that. Else, if we didn't believe that, Brother Nan, how could you go to the cemetery and give anybody any hope of comfort at all? It'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? Then it says again, lift up your heads, O ye gates. If the doctrine of the resurrection doesn't lift up your heads, then you just hang down. You go ahead and suffer your misery. But you can lift up your heads as Stephen did when he was being stoned to death. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
I believe this. From the standpoint of the work of God, he sat down. But to administer grace to his children and receive them unto himself, he's still standing.
Amen.
He's standing when Mike died and received him unto himself.
Amen.
And he'll be standing when you die and leave this world.
Amen.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Why do we look for pennies on the Walmart parking lot when we are jewels in heaven?
Amen.
That we can look at and look for?
Yes. Amen.
My goodness, how I wish we are blessed. Lift up your heads, ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Not will be, not could be, but he is. Don't tell me a little word don't make a difference in the Bible. Because it does. And I close with this thought. He's coming back.
Amen, brother.
He's coming back to get his children.
Yes.
Every one of them that's been touched by his grace.
Amen.
He's coming to get them.
Amen.
I've been asked the question, will we know one another? I have to say yes, because it'd be sad to know more down here than we do up there. But we'll be known as Christ knows us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he knows us far better
Amen.
Than we are.
Yes.
Because in Romans 8, whom he foreknew, he predestinated, past tense, whom he predestinated, he justified, past tense, and whom he justified, he called, past tense, and whom he called, he glorified, past tense, in the mind and purpose of God. You already stand glorified before God. You're just waiting for the reality of it to take place. And it's going to take place because of a cross, because of a crook, and because of a crown. Who is this King of Glory? I'll tell you who he is. Jesus Christ is the King of Glory. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Amen, brother.